This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth. Yeah, I'm the purveyor around here, the proprietor, whatever you want to call it, of impropriety at times, Stu Zimmerman, and I just want to invite you back. And if you haven't been here before, welcome, because we talk about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. We're talking about this joy for living. You know the joie de vivre, as I say in Francais. You know what we're talking about. It's not just the money. No matter, and we know that we tend to define our wealth in financial terms. We know that's our conditioning. We know that we've been viewing it, for many of us, as a scorecard. And we know that no matter how much the media tells us to keep spending, no matter how much President Bush may tell us to keep spending, for whatever reason, we know on a profound level that we can't spend our way into what we really want in our lives. Which is, do I have to fill in the blank? Okay. How about peace of mind? That's a novel one, isn't it? How about no more suffering? No more suffering. Yes, the pain, whether it's emotional pain or sadness or anger from time to time, or certainly physical pain, it really is part of our human condition. And I don't think there's any way around that. But the suffering, you know, isn't that optional? A lot of it is. A lot of it is. So we take a look at how to go beyond our ordinary existence to an extraordinary one, where we really do live a wealthy life. And along those lines, we have a great guest today, Azeem Jamal. He hails from Canada. Doesn't sound Canadian, but yeah, he does. And he is known as the corporate Sufi. So he brings, with an international flair, his own inspirations to corporate, I'll say America, but actually America and the world. It's corporate world at this point. And it is, because, and we'll get into this a little bit in the bowl of stew. I mean, we are just not necessarily the only economic superpower. In fact, you can put that super in quotes right now. With Azeem, we also have with us Kevin Grauman, a great Brain Trust member, also a businessman extraordinaire. He was Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young, founded and built and sold the Outsource Group for a nice chunk of change. Congratulations, Kevin. And he's founded a new company called the Importal Group, which is a human resources software company. Kevin is a great thinker, a big heart, and his observations can really make a difference in our own lives. Before we get to Azeem and Kevin, you get this week's Bowl of Stew. You know, there really is a direct correlation between spirituality and money. There really is. And sometimes we think it's absolutely opposite, right? The money's over here. You check your spirituality at the door because it's not personal. It's just business. And you got to plow through everything and basically take the Donald Trump school of no prisoners. Okay, that's just one school of thought. Or you get the chainsaw Al Dunlap, you know, where it's about whacking heads to reduce costs, to maximize profits, and squeeze the last bit of juice out of whatever assets are in a company for the, you know, the benefit of a few. Well, all I can say is, just like we all know that the mind-body-spirit connection is very real, it's very real, so too is the connection between spiritual wealth and financial wealth. And you know what? It works both ways. So let's really cut to the truth here in terms of where we are in America right now. Because I think it's well understood, and if we really are going to be honest here, let's take off the rose-colored glasses for a minute. Let's shed our sense of arrogance of where we may have been 30 years ago or 20 years ago in terms of being an economic superpower. I'm looking at the reality today. In fact, I read an article a couple of weeks ago by Tom Friedman in the New York Times talking about how Singapore, Dubai, I mean, these are like city-states. You know, their airports are absolutely, he compares it to Jetson versus our JFK being like Flintstone, you know. And it's true, absolutely, that we are borrowing money left and right from them, Chinese, other emerging countries, to pay for our own standard of living, for a war over there to export our sense of democracy to another country, when frankly, it looks like in many ways we've got difficulties keeping it here in our own country, if you know what I mean. So let's call it out for what it is, and let's just take a look of where we are realistically, okay? Because it is true that a lot of the political candidates who, you know, let's talk them about them specifically, of being McCain and Clinton, and we are pre-recording this, so Hillary may not even be running by the time this thing is airing, but you never know. She's vowing that she's a fighter, which, of course, is another one of those us-and-them comments, where we need to have somebody fighting all the time, and she has our back. She told us so. And once again, because of somebody who's going to be attacking us from behind, or so it's implied. But take a look at where we are economically, okay? And I would make a strong argument that our subprime situation, where we buy the American dream on some kind of mortgaged loan that's going to have negative amortization and all this other stuff going on, it's actually a form of spiritual corruption, where somehow we're being sold on something that, oh, all you need is this bigger house, all you need is the extra car, all you need is these other things, the piece of bling, and all this other stuff. And that is the American dream. So you need to borrow all that money to let Mr. Jones know down the street that you're keeping pace with him, and then you're somebody who should be well-respected as a result. And where, in fact, does that lead us? Where does it lead us that we have not invested until very recently in alternative energies? And instead, going back to the 70s, and we knew it. We knew it 35 years ago when there were gas lines and there were odd and even days on a license plate when you can get gas. We knew back then that fossil fuel oil was unsustainable in terms of our way of being. And we knew that we were becoming increasingly dependent on other countries who may or may not actually like us or believe in our way of life to supply us with this fossil fuel. And yeah, we did nothing about it. We did absolutely nothing about it for how many years? Plenty. And now it's coming home to roost. And now it's coming home to roost where they may have our, you know, our nuts in a vice, so to speak. Even if you're a woman. And that's just that is just on the fuel side of things. It has all these implications. I got to tell you, in case you didn't notice, have you gone to the supermarket recently? You know, whether it's cost of fertilizer, which is fossil fuel based, or just the cost of transportation of all the stuff we want and need, it's all going up. And it's a lot of it is because of a spiritual corruption that focuses on maximizing profits in a short term and focusing on the wealth in the hands of a few. The reason why I'm bringing this up is that it works both ways. And with a spiritual abundance comes a financial abundance. I'm inviting you to take a very hard look at that. Our featured guest today is Azim Jamal. He's known as the corporate Sufi, and we'll find out real briefly what all that really means. He's an international inspirational speaker, management consultant, and executive coach, coming from the accounting background, so that's an interesting segue right there. And Azim has been spreading his unique, thought-provoking message around the world and is an author of a number of books, including The Power of Giving. Azim, thank you so much for being here today, and welcome to Inside Wealth.
My pleasure, Sue.
Before we get into what it is to be a corporate Sufi, what it all means, and the power of giving, how do you define success?
Well, you know, I remember my mentor, or somebody I look up to, Ogmandino, saying, success without happiness is the biggest failure.
So how do you go about your own... So that means you're equating success with happiness.
Well, yeah, ultimately, you know, you want to make money because you think money will make you happy. You want to have, power because you think power will make you happy. You want to have a good family because you think good family will make you happy. Ultimately, it's the happiness that we are looking for as the end result. And if what we're chasing is not giving us happiness, then perhaps you're chasing the wrong goal, right?
Yeah. So what is your personal recipe for your own success?
Well, I think, you know, personally, if I can live today and create a positive change to all the encounters that I have today with my family, with a colleague, with this interview, and make a difference, then to me, it's a day well lived, right? And that's where I have control over. That's where I have the impact on, and all my energies are directed towards that.
So, okay, and that, so thank you. And now we really need to find out a little more in terms of what it is to be a corporate Sufi. Because I'm not even sure people, a lot of people in the United States here even know what a Sufi is. So yeah, maybe you could explain that and then explain how what a corporate Sufi is.
Yeah, well, let's say, I mean, everybody's familiar with the word corporate. And corporate implies ambition, business, commerce, success, power, material abundance. We're familiar with that. Sufi, I use it as a metaphor to define looking at the essence, not the form, being grounded in principles, values, ethics, believing in the power of giving, and wanting spiritual abundance. So when you marry the word corporate and Sufi, you get a corporate Sufi where you blend the two, where you have someone who is efficient, goal-oriented, productive, heart-centered, principle-centered, balanced individual, who wants both material abundance and spiritual abundance.
And so how did you come about coming from the accounting profession and going beyond the numbers into this this accounting for life, as you mentioned off air?
Well, you know, I changed from accounting for business to accounting for life when I went to do some voluntary work in the developing world. And as I went as an accountant to do budgeting. And when I was there, I was exposed to some real harsh realities. And there was a moment when I, you know, witnessed some abject poverty, and I was taking a cab ride back to my hotel, and I was crying like a baby. I was sobbing like a baby. And in those 25 minutes of the cab ride, I went through what I call a defining moment when, you know, my soul was shaken, and I had to ask the hard questions, you know, what can I do in my life to make a difference? And I realized, even though I had 3 professional accounting degrees, even though I made $200 an hour, I wasn't passionate as an accountant, and I kind of dig deep to find out what was my real calling, my real gift. And I realized it was not accounting, but it was speaking and coaching and writing.
Can you share a little bit about your process and coming to this understanding? Is it something that came by the end of the car ride or in the taxi, or is it something that you actually found yourself going through a deeper and longer process?
I think, you know, it's an evolution. I mean, obviously, it's there somewhere. The seed is there, and you have been, you know, keeping it secret or keeping it hiding, and something like this happens. And then when I went to the hotel, I met with my colleague, and he saw my face, and he realized there was something wrong, and he asked me, Azim, what's wrong? I didn't want to talk to him. I wanted to go to my room and cry some more because I was really shaken, but my colleague was a business-minded person, and he was probing and wanted an answer from me. So without thinking, I tell him that if I had to die for one cause, I would die for a cause like this, helping people who are in this kind of situation. And when I was sleeping at night, I realized, you know, what I said, you know, I mean, if I die, big deal. How did I help them? Nothing, right? So what can I do in my life that I can significantly help people like this? And I realized that, you know, that's when I really had to go through a sleepless night. And of course, as you say, it's not a sudden thing. Of course, there are other things that have happened in your life that have led to this final kind of revelation for yourself. But that was a trigger. I guess that was a defining moment which really nudged my move towards this change.
We are talking with Azim Jamal, who is an international inspirational speaker and management consultant, executive coach, literally going around the world quarterly for a month out of every 3, working with companies in all diverse areas like Turkey and, you know, African countries and every Asia. And, you know, Azim, I'm kind of curious. I'd love to you to elaborate a little more on spiritual abundance and its relationship to material abundance.
Yeah, I think that's my corporate Sufi model, basically, where I encourage corporations to do well, to achieve success, acquire material abundance through principles, values, ethics, and use the success to create positive change, because I believe that that creates a balance, that creates, I mean, there's many research done recently. There's a, you know, there's a book out called What Got You Here Would Not Get You There, and in that research, they've interviewed 200 people who could at a drop of a hat go to another job and get paid twice as much, but they didn't go because they were working in a company which they loved. It was a passion for them. You know, they were loving the people they worked with, and they were able to contribute and make a difference. So ultimately, when your company does engage in giving back, you find that you're able to retain people, find good people, harness the energy of good people, and ultimately, you know, create better profits for yourself.
We're here with Azeem Jamal, and stay tuned for more, where we'll learn more about how to take this philosophy of spiritual and material abundance to new levels in our lives and businesses, right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco.